At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Now, you all know of that bit in the video game where the character turns up after a long time since you've seen them last. You're delighted that they're back and they're going to be part of the story again because it didn't feel like the story was really complete in their absence. Well, that is the mood here today on Press X because we are welcoming back. I'm Stefan Powell, by the way. You probably know that by now if you've been listening for a while. But welcome back. In the wild, he is alive, he has risen, it is Einel Tomlinson. Hello, welcome back from your tour.
Einel has rejoined the party.
Standing up, and Einel, may I say, since the last time you were on here, you have done some work to that booth, my friend.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to use it as much as I wanted to, because I've been away a bit. But like, it's slowly paying for itself. Slowly.
Very good. Now, for audio listeners only, that's not going to mean anything at all. Einel's got a shiny new studio in his garden with lovely purple lights and a Yoshi sitting in a recording booth behind him. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's my little Yoshi. I might have to get the community to name him.
Oh, okay. That's a good idea.
Every Yoshi needs a name.
Yeah, let's name Yoshi, please. He's got a calf, his belly coming out of an egg. He looks very sweet and he's currently doing some voiceover for Einel. He's working for you, Einel.
Yeah, just Yoshi!
So how's it been? How's it been? Like, people listening will know that you've been off on tour. You've been sending us your voice notes from various hotel rooms in exotic places. What's it been like?
It's been absolutely fantastic. It's we've been going around the country doing the Horrible Histories concert tour for those that have been listening into the voice notes. We've been going all over the country. Done London, Birmingham, Nottingham, Edinburgh, Glasgow, like Cambridge, everywhere. And it's still ongoing. This is like a 4-month tour. Two shows a day, so it's so super intense, high energy, and so because of that, I have actually been able to meet some of the people, some of the Press X listeners. Some of the Press X listeners have come out to the show.
Oh, amazing! That's good. Yeah. And obviously, saying you know how much you've been missed on the show. What else have they been saying to you when you've been meeting them?
Oh, well, they've been complimenting me about my fantastic singing voice.
And, come on, of course they have. You know, they've got
how
yours.
I stole the show. You know, their words, not mine. So.
Well, listen, it's a joy to have you back and to have Press X back normally. Amazing to all the different people that have been on with us earlier on in the year, all the different interviews we've done and different special guests. It's been great, but it's nice to have the gang back together. And we've got a wicked lineup again this week. We're bringing in, let's start with the man who's provided Press X its most viral clip of all time. And so you're welcome back in Daniel Krupa from RKG Video. Dan, welcome back. Lovely to have you on the pod.
I mean, to go viral for a controversial view on the internet, at least it's that one. Right, at least it's about stealth games. I'm happy with that. Okay?
Yeah, in the current political climate of the world, it could have been way different, Dan. But here we are. It's much safer thing. It was lovely to have you back. And also welcoming back in Imogen Mellor, who's from Yours Truly, also previously from PC Gamer and from the Gaming Bible. Imogen, lovely to have you back on Press X.
Thank you so much for having me, and I'm so glad that I provided the least viral clip for Press X.
Oh, I don't know about that, Imogen. You know,
I don't know, but I think I last time was directly after Dan, and I mostly was just shouting about how Dan's stealth opinion was wrong.
Yeah, well, it's great that you're back on together. You can make up, you know, publicly here on Press X, which is lovely. Now, before we go any further, we get into the meat of this episode. I am being told by our producers. Now, this is spinning me out, Einel. I don't know what this is. And we don't like losing control, Imogen and Dan, right? This is a little podcast that we've made by our own fair hands. And all of a sudden, we lose control in the quiz every week. And I'm seemingly losing control here. So I've got a message here from the producers. I'm being told, play the mystery voice note. Do you know what this is, Inel?
No idea. Bro, I'm just came back, man. What are you talking about?
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, so I've got to, apparently I have to play this mystery. I don't know what this is, genuinely. So let's play the mystery voice note.
Hello, Steph. It is Lucy James here. I miss you. Hope you're doing well. Wanted to drop you a quick voice note because time differences, travel, busyness, life. I have not been able to get on the podcast for a while, but I was listening and I realized that no more unpopular opinions means there are no more Frogger style controversies. I will be back on soon to right those wrongs and we can make the transatlantic time work. But before I do, in case I don't see you for a little bit, you can go ahead and get that parcel and you can open your present now.
Oh, okay.
You got presents?
Well, I have, actually, yeah. Well, you talk amongst yourselves. I'm going to go and find this. This came months ago and I've been told not to open it and now I can't. You talk, ask someone a question, Inel, and I'll go and go and get this.
I think that everybody's wondering what's happening in your room right now.
He's properly thrown this episode. But.
This is spinning me out a little bit. Right, well, Lucy James in the wild, do not open this. So this is a parcel for, again, people listening, that arrived in the post a while ago and I'd forgotten about, but luckily it's in my little office. It says, do not open from Press X. So it's awkward when you open a present in front of people, isn't it? You know?
And you are.
I hate it.
I always worry that, do I look happy enough? Even if I love it, I feel like my face says, I hate it.
Imagine, do I look happy enough opening this present?
I mean, you could look happier.
Give it more. Yes.
You're worried.
Oh, I like Lucy James on this. What's it? Oh, my goodness me. This, does anybody else know what this is? Is this a surprise to everybody else? Have you seen? Yes. I didn't look at this.
It's so good.
Look at that. You haven't all gone away. Now you've all gone away as well. What? Okay, so for people listening, it's a t-shirt. It's a Metal Gear Solid t-shirt that basically says Tactical Espionage Action, Frogger, Press X to continue, and Krupa and Island Away. Look at that.
It's quite
How
kind
good
of perfect.
Is that?
It's kind of perfect.
Oh, imagine.
I'd be so nervous having this on under my shirt.
I was figuring the sweat marks, didn't it? I was like, boy, don't sweat too much.
So this is the throwback, obviously, to that viral clip that Dan gave us, where all, stealth games are just Frogger. Imogen, I'm going to have to get you one of these in the post as well.
I'm so glad. I was about to ask. Can I get one?
It's the awkward moment. Like.
Well, look, you can... Inel, ask another question. You pretend to be me for a bit and I'm going to put the t-shirt on. I'll be back now. Hold the phone.
Oh, I think the people want to see you strip. What are you talking about? This is all content. Like, where are you going?
Like, oh, he is doing it, actually, for audio listeners. Yeah, oh, wow.
Yeah, Steph has been going to
a proper personal trainer. We need to see the gains. We need to see the gains. You know, Steph has got buff, right?
Yeah, I saw that. I've seen the pictures.
Yeah.
But I saw them on Instagram. We didn't send them directly.
Right. I wasn't like a DM to you. Yeah?
That's all the world needs, more buff nerds.
I love being a buff nerd. Being a buff nerd is the greatest pleasure because it's funny to have muscle for your hobby as well.
Uh-huh. Imagine you are lifting. I'm seeing you on the gram. Yeah. You are out there.
Yeah,
you are lifting, my friend.
I just got my 150kg deadlift recently. Really excited about that.
Oh, okay. Look, you can lift the door yourself.
Get me round. Get me in there.
Get Imogen round to sort your shadow.
Imo, I need to do some relocation stuff.
Well, this is excellent. So top our production team, Dave and Owen and everybody else behind the glass, we've sorted out. That is so cool. Thank you very much. And thank you also to Daniel for providing us with that viral moment that has meant that we can all have matching T-shirts. So top stuff to Owen. Owen, by the way, you'll see him in the Discord. He does all the hard work making all those clips that look so cool that go out on socials and loads of work in the background making it all tick. So a big soppy thank you to Owen at the start of this episode. It's all very wholesome here on PressX today. Lovely stuff. He also designed it as well. If you want one, I don't know what we can do do, but they're great, aren't they? Right, okay, cool. That is a lot of faffing, but we had a lot of faffing to do. So let's get into it then.
I love that you got like a massive grin on your face.
It's so fun. Good. Look at it. So I got my own t-shirt. It's amazing. Cute. It's all podcast. It's got a t-shirt. You know, I don't know, it's just, I like it. It's novel. It's lovely. Right. So we start the show now with an unsung hero game. Imogen, let's go to you then. So this is a game that we don't celebrate enough, that we should be giving more joy to, more pop. What are you saying?
I'm going to cheat lightly with this. My answer is a famous game. You'll all have heard of it. Tomagachi Connection Corner Shop 2.
Go that one again.
Tomagachi Connection Corner Shop 2. It was Nintendo.
Just rolls off the tongue.
I did have to check what the official name of this game was. But when I was a lot younger and I was playing, here it is. Here it is in person. I've got props.
I've got
my Nintendo DS from when I was a kid.
Yes.
I kind of wanted to talk about basically what feels like lost media, and it's all of the DS games that came out that were designed for all of the girlies playing games as like as kids. And because all of these girls have, I say all of them, a lot of them have grown out of playing games and they left that kind of with the Nintendo DSs. No one talks about all of these games that were like designed and created for like kids at the time, including Tomagachi Connection Corner Shop 2, which was a Tomagachi game where you basically made little shops. You became an entrepreneur and you had all of these little like shops. And then the highest of honors, royalty would visit, give you a stamp, and your shop would be upgraded until you had royal shops. It was incredible. It taught me how to be a hard worker. It taught me a huge amount. These games, genuinely, like, it's like just, I don't know what you're going to say. I know what you're going to say. What about one? What about three? There was Tomagachi Connection Corner Shop 3. What about that? No. Two.
That was the sweet spot.
That was the sweet spot.
Oh, the Godfather.
That's the Goldilocks.
They figured out the mechanics properly.
The second games and the second films are often the best. Like, we did a top five Warhammer games of the day. Dawn of War 2 comes out as the best for the Dawn of War trilogy. Godfather 2, as Daniel rightly points out. The Two Towers, the best Lord of the Rings film.
Tomagachi
Collection Corner Shop 2.
Yes, exactly. But I think I just wanted to give a shout out basically to, like, there were the Imagine games, you know, there were all of these games based on films that came out when I was a kid. These just don't happen anymore. They were kind of like the mid-size game. Like, I think that being a kid and having a Nintendo DS was king in terms of like the amount of variety and games that you had. And I really wanted to do a deep dive into it.
Madagascar. People don't talk about that.
Madagascar was the first game I ever bought myself.
There you go.
That's wow. That's my People dad was like, I was out and my dad said you could pick out a game and I picked out Madagascar and it was bad. It was not a good game.
But it was gateway, right? And here we are. It starts as Madagascar. Next thing you know, it's Tamagotchi Connection.
Exactly. It didn't put you off.
Not three, not four, not one, two.
Two.
But does the Switch 2 now do the job that those games used to, do you think, Imogen? Was that your Animal Crossing?
Well, I think that's actually something else. Yeah, like people say that cozy gaming is huge now. I would say that it's kind of the second coming of cozy gaming. It was just that a lot of these games were kind of geared towards kids and, you know, shown towards that audience. I think that a lot of people that you'd consider cozy gamers now, the ones that are enjoying Pocopia and, you know, Tomodachi Life, all of that, probably also played a load of these games as kids, but they've just kind of been lost to time because they weren't considered, you know, massive games. They weren't considered classic games at all. These games are just kind of lost to time. And unless you physically have a copy of them, they're just gone. And that's such a shame for Tomagachi Connection Corner Shop 2. Because I used to play it with my little sister and we would watch each other bake cakes, fix cars. I think there's a burger shop, a sushi shop. I think you did like makeovers for some Tomagachis where they would come in looking rough and you'd have to clean them up. You learn to do all sorts
of
jobs.
You're looking rough.
Yeah.
Sit down in the chair. Let me sit down.
Okay, well, look, I, you know what? That's the beauty of this this little feature of ours, that we don't know what direction it's going to go. We've had quite big games mentioned previously. I put Cricket Captain forward, which is a game that nobody played. And today we have Tomagotchi Connection Corner Shop 2. That's why we love it. And, well, let us know, did you play? Was it your gateway into games like it was for Imogen? You know, did you get in a Discord, get in a conversation? Or when you see this clip on social media, you think, sorry, what was the title of that game she just said again?
You'll have mechanics right here, bakers.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, all of them.
TCC, barbers. CS2. TCCS2. Yeah, of course.
Rolls off the tongue.
Easy to remember. Awesome.
Everybody recognizes that acronym.
Absolutely. Look, let us know what you think. Get involved in the conversation. We'd love to hear your thoughts on that one. I wonder how many people have played it, Imogen. It's going to be great to find out. And from the Discord, Fiona's suggesting, on a similar sort of line to you, actually, Imogen, they're suggesting, can I suggest an Unsung Hero console? Which is the Wii U. It had so many great games, a lot of great Nintendo games on the Switch are basically Wii U ports. Einel's nodding his head off. They got the cell wrong early doors, right, Einel? That was the problem with the Wii U.
They did and they didn't. It was fun, man. Like, every time, I always remember 2013, 2014, every time, like, I had friends come around to my house, we wasn't playing FIFA, we weren't playing, like, WrestleMania. We were sitting down, we were doing five-player Nintendo Land on the Wii U.
Mm-mm.
Running around.
Nintendo Land was amazing.
Nintendo Land was fantastic.
I'm unfamiliar. What's Nintendo Land?
It's a collection of mini games, but adapted specifically for the Wii U. So there's a lot of asymmetrical stuff. So four people would be playing on the TV. One person would have the Wii U tablet. So you'd have that screen. So there would be like hide and seek in Luigi's Mansion. There was Mario Tag, which we used to just play a lot, where it's just tag, simple concept, but just works really, really well. So he just took advantage of the fact that one player could see a different screen to everyone else.
It's Dead by Daylight, right? It's Dead by Daylight.
But with Mario.
Sounds fantastic.
Mario. I suppose that, and the Wii U, a lot of people do say, don't they, the Wii U walked so the Switch could run or whatever, because a lot of the learnings and stuff, that the concept is sort of...
It's basically the Switch, but it's just the... you can take it. Like, the Wii U was just... is basically the Switch. It does all the same stuff. Like, had video chat that nobody used.
Yeah. They did it first. No one used it on that first.
Yeah, exactly. Well, look, great shout for you, know. And look, if you want to suggest your Unsung Hero games or consoles or anything Unsung Hero about gaming, because we weren't like... starting the podcast off on a positive these days, then do get involved, get in the Discord, and you can put your suggestions and stuff in there. Right, okay, it is time now for trivia time. And remember, if you don't want to have difficult questions, recently we've had ones about space rays, ordering pizzas on games consoles, then if you think you've got a better question, then you know what to do. There is a secret channel in the Discord. You put a question in there, and all of a sudden it pops up here on the podcast, and we try and get people to guess what the answer is. Thanks to Discord member Yes Andy Noor, since you've been on, I think, Imogen and Dan, we've now got a jazzy algorithm which works out some maths. So it doesn't matter how many questions you've answered, it'll still put you in the leaderboard, if you know what I mean, right?
Oh, wow. So, yeah, it's like weighted.
It's weighted. So and top work by Yes Andy Noor to figure that out. So currently, Keza McDonald is number one. By some distance. I mean, she's the Guardian's games editor. She should be number one, really. So
job's on the line.
Yeah. So she's in one. I'm in fourth. Einel's in fifth. Imogen, you're in eighth place at the moment, which is and Dan's down in 15th with six other people. So
well, I got zero. So I was a weighted zero.
To be fair, some of them are really hard. They're tough questions, right? Yep. So, you know. Right, so the question this week, and we will, of course, come to the answer at the end of the episode. So we'll bring you the answer at the end of the episode.
Who wants to be a continuer?
The question is this. At the 2016 Rio Olympics closing ceremony, which video game fast travel technique... which video game fast travel technique allowed the Prime Minister of the next host nation to arrive on time when a pre-recorded video suggested he was going to be late? It's a tricky question.
Warp pipe?
I was thinking that.
Probably water pipe.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
I was thinking the same on the basis that Marin Sonic at the Olympic Games is such a thing.
Yeah.
I would have imagined that they were connected to the actual Olympics.
And the next Olympics was Tokyo.
Yep.
Mm.
Yeah,
it has 26. To be.
And that's from experience, that's how you get to Tokyo.
Yeah.
I took a plane, but I was told that was actually a rookie error.
It's faster. It's faster.
Yeah. Yeah. Quicker. Mm.
Big Bill Green one. Yeah, much better.
I feel like he also had like a Mario hat on.
Dear.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think so.
It would make sense, wouldn't it? It does. That's a lot of sense. Look at us talking sense. This could be right.
Listen, we can collaborate, get the points together.
Yeah, we can do that. Look, so we will bring you the answer at the end of the episode. So have a little think. You might get some inspiration during the episode record. 2016 Rio Olympics closing ceremony. Which video game fast travel technique allowed the Prime Minister of the next host nation to arrive on time? That's the question. There was a video suggesting he was going to be late, but then bang, he appeared. So we will bring you the answer at the end of the show. Right, okay, let's talk about... we've had a really positive, happy, uplifting start of the programme, so let's talk about something a bit more frustrating for a lot of people. PlayStation prices are going up a lot. We know that we're recording this in quite an odd... is one way of describing it, time in the world at the moment, and not just cost of living, but sort of international events are forcing the price of lots of things up, including the PlayStation. They say that their PlayStation 5 has gone up by £90 in the UK, around $100 in the US, and they're blaming the global economic landscape. But of course, all of this as well is when people are also talking about how much it costs to download stuff to play on the PS5. So a lot of conversations are on the cost of gaming. What do you think about all this, Lionel? It's kind of been inevitable. This has sort of been happening for a while. But it is odd that halfway through or towards the end of a life cycle of a console, it costs more now than it did when it first came out.
Yeah, that's horrible. Because traditionally people always wanted to wait for things to get cheaper before jumping in, rather than being like jumping on launch day. That's gone out the window. I don't think we're ever going back to that kind of landscape anymore. For consumers, it's absolutely horrible. For PlayStation, it makes super sense. Because you got to remember, what's the biggest video game of all time that's about to come out on soon?
Yeah.
And what's the best console that you're going to want to play it on? The PlayStation Pro and the PlayStation is the console that it's going to look best on. And so prices, they're going up. So I wouldn't surprise me that they're going to start selling out. I know by the time people listen to this, the price has already gone up. But it wouldn't surprise me the closer we get to the launch of that game, the more you're going to start seeing PlayStation sell out.
Yeah, it's up to £569 in the UK now, Dan. So that's a 19% increase. So it's quite a lot. And I guess... I know there are other ways to play that we will come on to if people are thinking about the leap and thinking it's a bit too pricey. I guess this is kind of, I don't know how you feel, but I kind of feel like it's sort of inevitable. I'm not surprised.
I think it is obviously nuts that we're 6 years in. Are we 6 years into this console cycle and it's gone up to that price? I did look back. I had a slight theory about this. I did look back at costs of previous consoles when they came out.
Yeah.
And the PlayStation 3, when it came out, was £425 in 2007. Mm. Which adjusted for inflation is £750.
Yeah.
So I was just wondering whether have we fallen into a trap? No, I'm not saying that this is good at all, that maybe console gaming is more expensive than we think. And my theory was when I was younger, I didn't have to buy it.
Yeah.
My mum did. Yeah. And I wonder whether this is actually more expensive than we remember. Cause I remember games being £50-70 on the Nintendo 64. That was late 90s, which is nuts. Maybe this is just all too expensive to keep going. And to make games that take 7 years to make is just insanely expensive, that these big publishers and console manufacturers don't really know how to fund the business they've inadvertently created.
Yeah.
Because we're 6 years into this cycle, Naughty Dog, Sony's biggest publisher, haven't even released a new game yet.
That's
which is bizarre.
That when you say it like that, and we interviewed Neil Druckmann when the Last of Us TV show came out, and he was talking about their new game that they're working on at the moment that he's helping with. That's not coming out anytime soon. That's their thing, right?
And GTA is probably the best example of this, but no one else can make the game that Rockstar made. No one else can take 10 years and have a budget of $2 billion and a team spread around the globe that can work 24 hours, 7 days a week, continuously passing on the baton of development. No one else is structured like that. So we have this landmark of this game, which will set up probably a new benchmark of visual quality and size of open world and all this sort of stuff. And people will go, oh, I want more of them. It's well, that will take 10 years. Yeah. Like, what do you want? And it's just, I feel like these companies are struggling with the economics of making AAA games.
Mm. Yeah.
And I think something's just going to have to change. Like, you're going to get fewer of these games, going to have to get smaller games, which are, like, I'm all for. But, like, I think this is almost like a delayed effect of console manufacturers dealing with that. But also, ultimately, the elephant in the room is, like, the AI demand for all these components.
Yeah.
Which is also escalating the price for all this stuff. So, again, we can blame AI for ruining it.
Which, it is interesting, isn't it, Imogen? Like, I think Dan's hit his nail on the head. There seems to be like a lot of talk recently about just with all the layoffs as well as we've had in the industry, lots of people losing their jobs. And ultimately, for people who just dip in and out and play the game now and again, it hasn't really mattered up until now. But if all of a sudden, if you only got a console because you thought it was the cheapest way to play FIFA and Call of Duty every year, and that's now changing, maybe less people will have consoles in their houses, and maybe they will just start keep playing on their phones or whatever. And so the whole landscape of how we play stuff changes.
Yeah, I mean, I think that one of the things that if someone talks to me now and says like, hey, I want to get into games, what's the cheapest way of doing it? My answer has always been, you know, an Xbox Series S and Game Pass. Like, if that's the way you want to experience as many games as possible and kind of getting as much bang for your buck, it might not be exactly the games you want all the time because, you know, it won't have everything on there. That's the way to do it. But otherwise, I'm like, oh, just build a PC and you can get everything you want. But that's actually really difficult right now. RAM prices have increased to such an extent that it's now cheaper to buy a pre-built, which was not the case 10, 15 years ago. It was always cheaper to buy the components and build it yourself. Gaming is kind of getting more expensive across the board. I think it would be silly to think that PlayStation is above that, just because it's, you know, like, I think that now the demand for PlayStations are higher because it's obvious that PlayStation is kind of the place to play for a lot of people. I think that, like, if you were talking about Xbox Series S and X versus PlayStation 5, I think PlayStation 5, you know, doubled the sales. So, something silly. Like, it was really, really mad how much the PlayStation outpaced the Xbox Series consoles. But it's just an expensive hobby. And I think that we're spoiled for choice for really quality games at a lower price point. You know, games like Peak and Repo and, you know, there are all sorts of games that cost £8 that you get as many hours of enjoyment as you might a AAA game now. And I think that, and also there are all of the free games that you kind of dive into that you get a huge amount of value out of because they're free. And so it is more difficult. Like, I think that it's balancing out in ways that we're not expecting to see.
Yeah. I wonder if there's been a bit of a shift, like Imogen was saying there, you know, like it used to be consoles were a cheap way of playing games. And if you were really into it, then you would build your own PC or whatever. But actually the price differential is kind of, that gap is kind of closing a little bit because you can get, I mean, not the top end PCs, obviously, but you can get sort of workable lower end PCs that are great for essentially what a console does, for not a million miles off what you're paying now for a PlayStation.
No, not a million miles off. And I think that's the route a lot of people are going to start taking, because even trying to go back to the older consoles and stuff, it's getting expensive. I don't know if you guys have seen like prices on the secondhand market for like older titles and stuff. Now even if you want to go back to systems like the Super Nintendo or the Game Boy, you're essentially paying full price for secondhand games, because that's like the prices have been hiked up from collectors and all sorts. Whereas before you'd be able to get like a Game Boy game for like £5. Now, if you want it like in decent condition, you're paying like 50, 60 quid. I saw Metal Gear Solid on the Game Boy. It's going for like £129.
Wow.
Like secondhand. And so it's, so like prices for gaming is expanding all over. But like the one good thing is, if you do manage to kind of get hold of any type of console from whatever generation, there's so many amazing games that I'm pretty certain most people have never played to this day.
Yeah.
That you can go back to, that instant classics, that it doesn't matter what time or place or era you're playing it in, it's going to be you're going to have a great time with. And there's, you can have like lists and lists and lists of these amazing titles that I'm pretty certain most of the listeners have never played before. And so in one hand, like if you want to stay at the forefront of gaming, it's tough, it's expensive. There are options like indie games and things. But if you do manage to, if you do have an older console, don't count yourself out, because there's so many amazing games that you probably haven't yet played.
Yeah. Do you think that, like, there's the worry I have with all these groups is that it's basically going to have a bit of like an us and them effect. Do you know what I mean? It's going to price people out so that mm-hmm. you'll get a lot of people will play, I don't know, free games on their mobile or whatever. And then there are fewer and fewer people will be able to afford the, it'll cost you, if you wanted to buy a new PlayStation, say no, the new GTA is going to cost you £100 and the new PlayStation is going to cost you nearly £700 to be able to play GTA, basically. If you don't already have a console.
It's quite a lot, isn't it? Yeah, I was just thinking about it then. It's like, it's just everything's expensive, right? Like, I went to see Project Hail Mary at the IMAX the other day.
Did you like it?
And my ticket was, yeah, I really liked it. Like, I thought it was lovely. I was £25 to see a film for 2 hours. And then you could buy GTA for £100 and maybe that's like 1,000 hours. And I know that's not how you should do these equations, but in terms of like entertainment and the enjoyment it's going to bring you, maybe, I'm not saying that's a good price, but like there's a lot more to experience there than a 2.5 hour film, but it's hard, right? Because these things just cost. I think we moan about the price of it, and we should, because that is really expensive. But then we also don't want to see layoffs.
Yeah.
And those things kind of are out, right? Because we're demanding experiences that are inherently expensive to make, that require artists and engineers and technicians to dedicate so much of their life and time to make these things that are really hard to make. But yeah, we're also like, can you do it cheaper and faster, please?
Yeah.
And it's just like the center cannot hold there. So I think you're right. There's going to be like an us and them, and like some people won't be able to have these experiences and not at release. And that's tough, right? Mm. Like you shouldn't, like, should great art or great entertainment be inaccessible to people? Mm. That feels really harsh to set such a premium price on it.
Yeah. And now I know suggested, you know, going back to some older titles, and there's some amazing stuff out there, imagine, like that people clearly have always played. You've suggested, I use the same tip as you when people ask me, my kid wants his first console, what should I do? And it's a digital version Xbox and a version of Game Pass. Any other thoughts or tips you would give to people who are like a bit worried about sort of how the direction of prices are going and trying to keep gaming as affordable as possible?
I think I go to CEX all the time. I don't buy from CEX a lot, like in the UK, but I do pop in occasionally to see if there's anything that I've missed, or thinking that, like, hey, I have a PS5 with a disc port in it.
Mm-hmm.
I might go in and see if there's like something there that I do want to like go and purchase. But I do think also sharing is caring. If your friend, like, I have a Steam Deck. And I know, you know, I have more consoles than most people get to have. Like, that's not, you know, a solution for most people. But my sister and I will share games, in that if I can get something on the Steam Deck, I will just hand it to her physically. I think I think actually physically, if you've got a console that you could lend someone for a weekend so that they get their kick out of like a game, you can kind of do that. I know it's not the most comfortable way of doing things, but I think that people used to, like, especially in the 90s and 2000s, actually sharing the hardware was something that people got really used to doing.
Don't
think that they do that. Mm-hmm.
I do miss, because of the nature of digital ownership or whatever, I do miss. There was a guy in my, Rodri, who lived up the road, who I didn't, he was a couple of years older than me. We didn't just hang out, but once every fortnight he'd turn up and like, he'd give me Brian Lara cricket for the Mega Drive. And I'd give him Toe Jam and Earl, you know what I mean? And like, you'd swap games, right? You'd swap games with strangers.
I had a similar story. There was a man that used to come around. This was obviously highly legal. He used to open up the boot of his car. You would go outside and you would rent games from him. You would pay him £1. It's basically like an ice cream van, but it was a man's car full of video games. Mm-hmm. So not quite like an ice cream van. And then you would give him £1 and you would borrow a video game for a week, and then you come back next week and collect it back.
Yeah,
that's pretty banging on your door for that Metal Gear Solid.
Entrepreneurship, right? Yeah.
That's what Netflix used to do. Netflix used to allow you to rent games. That was the original like format.
Yeah. But there's still ways of doing it. There's like I share my Steam library with my family. Like, if you have like a Steam family account, then any game that's on your Steam library, they can play if you're not playing it. There's options like that.
I don't know if you remember this, when the Xbox One was originally announced, Microsoft did this big thing where they were like, oh, you'll be able to like share your digital library with people. And like you would transfer the DRM momentarily. And like Sony made fun of this going, oh, we can do that. And they showed a video of someone just handing a disc to another person. Yeah. And like Xbox at the time got slated for this innovation. But in retrospect, you're like, oh, actually, that's quite a good feature.
Stick with that.
Especially if you're not going to give me physical games anymore. Yeah.
Well, look,
Nintendo do it on the Switch too. They're the only ones that have like brought that back. But like,
There were some of the local co-op games that you could only one of you would have to buy.
It Takes Two. Yeah,
it Takes Two was like one. Mm-hmm. I think A Way Out was another. That was quite cool. But look, what are any thoughts or tips on trying to keep gaming affordable in a time where, like a lot of things, prices are going to go up? We're starting to see the impact of that already. Then, do share your tips and thoughts with us in the Discord. Right, Dan, you're reviewing a game for us this week. What have you been playing?
I've been playing Resident Evil Requiem.
Ooh.
I know. It's good to be on with Imogen, who's a fellow horror fan.
Yes.
Don't say that. I'm the biggest horror... I'm the biggest scaredy cat that's ever been.
Oh, good. You're in good company.
I think I've watched 3 horror films total. So that's... I'm terrified.
So tell us about Requiem then.
It's brilliant. I think in just that conversation we were just having, that Naughty Dog haven't, not to like slate Naughty Dog, but like not put out a game for like 6 years in this cycle. I think in the last 10 years, Capcom have put out 6 Resident Evil games, like mainline ones, 3 remakes and 3 brand new ones, 7, 8 and 9. And I think they've just done really great stuff with that franchise. That they're experimenting. I'm not saying it's the most innovative game in the world. It's not. But they're experimenting within what they know works and trying new things within those like parameters. So the whole game has 2 protagonists, Grace and obviously like series favorite Leon. And they kind of do a redo of something they tried to do with 6, which was like a big failure. Became too action-y, had like 4 protagonists. You switch between the 2 characters. So as Grace, it's first person. You can like switch it, but like they recommend you play it first person. And in that mode, you have like the more intense exploration horror experience. And then to like liven it up, you switch to Leon and you're just like overpowered and you're like a superhero and you can just take on everything really. And you can roundhouse zombies' heads off.
Great.
So, great game.
Yeah.
That's all I need in the game.
Yeah, I can kick the zombie's head off. I'm winning. And so who would you say this is for? When they're remaking Resident Evil, I've always got the sense that they're making it for the people who already love it.
I think that's why they're maybe doing the dual releases of the originals, the remakes, because I'm not like super upon the lore and the story. I kind of forget stuff after I've played it in the Resident Evil series, because it all kind of blends together. But why I think they're doing the remakes is, one, because it's probably like, not that they're a bit quicker to do because you've got the design already laid down, but they've changed quite a lot in those originals. And I think that's because they're kind of updating the story so it fits more closely with what they're doing in the new ones. So they're trying to like almost retcon some of the stuff in the old games so it fits and supports better what they're doing in the future. So I think through doing those remakes, they're trying to bring in new audiences. So it's like, you've never played these games. To our conversation we just had, you're not going to get a PlayStation 2 and play Resident Evil 2. Don't worry, we've got you covered. And also you can play it with brand new graphics and controls, which you will find more accessible. So they're bringing new people in through that. And then they've got the bright new shiny game.
Yeah.
Which plays for them, but also the people who've been fans of the series for a long time. And Requiem's like just such a good balance of those 2 gameplay styles. And, for periods it settles down, you'll have a big 2-hour section where you're Grace. You'll have a big 3-hour section where you're Leon. But then there's also bits where it kind of flips back and forth, like 20 minutes here, 30 minutes with this character. And yeah, I'm not going to go into any spoilers, but at the end of the game, like something fairly sizable happens for the future of the Resident Evil series. So you kind of like left on a cliffhanger, but it kind of works because at this rate, you're going to get another Resident Evil game in about a year and a half.
Yeah. I mean, kind of me intrigued. I know. What do you, I'm kind of Dan selling it to me here.
I thought you was a scaredy cat.
I'm in Imogen's camp. I'm a wimp, but I don't know. It's like, cause it's such a famous franchise. And same as Dan, like, I don't know the lore inside out. I've sort of follow along in the games that I haven't played all of them by a long stretch, but I've been on the internet, I've watched videos, I've maybe watched some playthroughs, I kind of rough idea what's going on, and like when and I kind of so I'm interested, even if I'm a wimp.
I get that. And same. I think it's mainly because of the run that Capcom's been on. Just not just their Resident Evil series, but like Monster Hunter, like Monster Hunter Stories just came out. Like they've got they've got another game coming out in like a week's time. Like they're releasing huge games like back to back alongside each other, and they all seem to be hitting hard with not just like the consumers but critics as well. And I guess it's that intrigue has made me want to kind of go back because I stopped playing Resident Evil. At Resident Evil 7. I played it in VR for 15 minutes, scared the crap out of me, and I did touch it for 6 years.
Yeah, I'm with you. Too scary.
It was the scariest thing I've ever experienced my life.
Too scary.
VR with Mia coming at you with the knife. I was like, nah, I'm out. Yeah. But then I was so intrigued by like the what Capcom's doing with Resident Evil that I've gone back to 7. I've been streaming it on Twitch, like Resident Evil 7, not in VR.
Yeah.
And I've been going through it slowly, and I'm seeing, oh, yeah, I can see why it's starting to kind of appeal to new audiences as well as old people such as myself, like bringing them back into the fold. And I'm like, okay, I get it now. Like, it's the first Resident Evil I've played in first person. And I'm like, it works. And that's just 7. So I still got like a few to go through. But I think just Capcom's just on a really good run.
Yeah. Any of this make you think, Imogen, yes, I might be a wimp, but you know what? I'm down. Krupa sold it to me. I'm in.
To be fair, honestly, I have watched some of RKG's playthroughs of Resi games just because that makes it a lot easier for me to consider. The thing is, I really like the lore of a lot of horror properties.
Same.
Because I think that the mystery and the intrigue and the storytelling is really good. And, you know, like horror games love a bit of tragedy and I love a bit of my wife died and now I need to go avenge her and things like that, right? And I think that there's a lot of stories in horror properties that I just am not equipped to play myself, but I will watch someone else play them from the other side of a room while I'm doing something else, so I'm not too locked into how scary it might be.
Yeah. Well, look, it's got a Metacritic score of 89. One review says it's a perfect game, the culmination of prior entries into a perfect title. That's it, nothing more to say. It's £60 on Amazon and Steam, £65 in the PS Store and Xbox Store. You're gonna recommend it clearly, Dan, especially for people who like horror games or Resident Evil fans.
Definitely. Like, I mean, you could wait. You could pick up the previous games. There's, you know, 5 other ones now. You get all the remakes and 7 and 8. Like, if you're waiting for this one, they always do like loads of DLC for them. So there's lots. So you could, like, if you could wait until this goes on sale, if you wanted, catch up first.
They've even got a movie coming out soon as well.
Well, yeah. And you were on actually talking to us about that the last time you were with us, Dan. And since then, Zach Cregger, so he's the man in charge of this, he's given an interview to the New York Times, isn't he, saying it's going to be unlike anything he's ever seen and that he loves the idea of being pitted against a world that is hell-bent on annihilating you. That's from the New York Times. How are you feeling now about that upcoming film?
Well, I've actually read the script.
Oh! Just drop that casually into the conversation.
It leaked on the internet and a friend of mine downloaded it and shared it with me. So I have read it. I'm not going to say anything.
You better delete that off your hard drive quick.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say anything. It is absolutely bonkers.
Right.
It is chaotic stuff. It's basically like, it feels like, the only thing I'll say, if it is close, I mean, they're in post-production now. If it is close to what I've read, it is like a breathless 90-minute film to, you know, hour 40. And if you've seen Weapons, the final section where the kids are chasing someone, yeah. I would say it feels like that for 90 minutes.
Right. Well, excited stuff. We'll find out very soon. And yeah, go and check out that interview with the New York Times if you want to find more about what Zach Craig is thinking. Right, okay, this is the big question from today's show. So this is when our producers have been sort of listening and scurrying around behind our backs to come up with a question based on what we've been talking about on the episode. And the question this week is, apart from Tamagotchi Connection Corner Shop 2, what game has given you the best value for money for time played versus price paid? Time played versus price paid. What do you think? Inel, I'll put you on the spot first. I'll come to you first.
It's going to be a boring answer for those that know me, but the Mario Picross games. There's like you get like 500 puzzles and I'm still playing through. I've only done like 200 of the five. And it's like, yeah, I'm still going. When did I start playing it? 3 years ago.
Still going. Picross, still Mario, going. Great. I think for me, not necessarily recently, but I think historically speaking, was Football Manager, I think probably, because the amount of hours I poured into that was obscene to the point where I now have to sort of, I don't play it anymore.
You see the code. like the Matrix.
Probably,
you see the numbers.
And that's why I don't play it anymore. Yeah,
sadly. You know, me or my alter ego, Sir Maurice Silvord MB, of course, who was the name of my manager in, well, I had two managers. For those who listen to the pod, they will know this already. But Sir Maurice Silvord MB or Alan Hudson, they were my two manager alter egos. Sir Maurice put a lot of hours into Football Manager in his time. So I think that was definitely my answer. What about you, Imogen?
I've got to say, apart from Tamagotchi Connection Corner Shop 2.
Of course, goes without saying.
Yeah, sorry. Probably Balatro.
I love
Balatro, and I've played it for a couple hundred hours, I would say at least. And also, I've played it on my PC, and I've got it on my phone, and the phone version, I almost got Gold 6 and everything on PC, and then I started again on my phone because it's not, you know, I just started again, and I've done that just basically on commutes and like tubing around London. It's like I've just been able to like delete an amount of time from any journey that I've been on by playing Balatro. And I
How
just,
many stops have you missed?
I have almost missed one stop, but I've also had men sat next to me on the tube go, good Balatro run. And I'm like, thank you.
Chat app line.
I thought you were going to say you were like, you want to move the ace?
Sorry, wrong joker order.
Yeah.
That's because, I mean, our producer Dave has put 300 plus hours into Balatro, so he will, he knows what you're, where you're coming from there. What about you, Croops?
I think it is Overwatch.
That was my other answer.
Because you can track it on PlayStation. I think I have like 2,500 hours playing Overwatch, and I've not played that game now for like 3-4 years. Like I've left that life behind me now.
Let's play again. Go on.
Which is kind of weird because it was such a huge part of like my last few years at IGN, first few years of lockdown. I sunk so much time into that game and now it's not even a thing in my life, which is kind of strange, right?
It's good again. The like update, it's really fun. I've been playing it recently and I've been really enjoying
like
it.
I feel such an old man starting again though. I'll be like, oh, it's different back at the beginning.
No, it's so much fun.
I mean, I won't know any of the characters.
They've nerfed
it's like
this weapon.
Back, like, it's like going back to an old workplace. It's like, everyone's new. So.
I am.
It was a good gang.
We've talked.
Canteen's still serving the same food, though.
We were messaging about this, weren't we, before, because I'm looking for an online game that I can play of an evening where, like, when the kids have gone down or whatever, I need to find something. Like, I need to find a thing. So actually, if people are listening, what should it be? Everybody seems to be suggesting Ark Raiders, you know, Wars
of the Finals. I told you the finals.
Yeah, I know, it's really pushing the finals. But I'm looking. So if you like, maybe it's Overwatch. I don't know. We will see. Okay, great. So good stuff there. Right, let's finish off then with our answer for the trivia. Question was, 2016 Rio Olympics closing ceremony, which video game fast travel technique allowed the Prime Minister of the next host nation to arrive on time? Are we all going with the same answer? Or has anybody got an advance on the answer?
I think it has to be warp pipe.
I think we cracked it.
Yeah, I think so.
Like, it has to be, right?
It makes too much sense. It's Tokyo. Mm-mm. It's Mario.
I remember them doing a Nintendo thing at the closing ceremony.
And Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games. You can't forget.
Yeah, and this could be, if we're right, this could be the first time ever that everybody on the podcast has had the right answer. So this could be, we could be making history here, folks. Okay.
Unless we've got the Olympics in the wrong order.
Well, there is that as well. Okay. The answer is, drum roll please. The answer is a warp pipe. Yes! A video played in the closing ceremony suggested the Prime Minister of Japan was going to be late in the back of a cab. He arrived at a warp pipe in Tokyo, and after disguising himself as Mario, he hopped in, travelled through the centre of the earth, and arrived out at the other end of the pipe in Rio.
Do I get bonus points for the hat?
You don't get bonus points for the hat. But you do get a point for the right answer, which means that, right, well, big moves here. Krupa's moved from 15th all the way up to 11th with one answer, thanks to Yes Andy Knows Maths.
There you go.
Imogen, you're now up to 6th. Einel stays in 5th place. But in big news, not that I want to make this about me, because it's not about me. A certain someone here is up to 2nd place, everybody.
Wow.
Thank you. Keza needs to watch out.
Thank you.
How far are you off Keza?
A while. She's got a commanding lead.
So are you ahead of Benedict as well?
I'm ahead of Benedict now. So some softball questions in the Discord now, please, because then you can really help me work on this. I don't have much else going for me, so this is really good for my self-esteem.
Awesome time crisis questions.
Yeah, time crisis questions, please. Well, once again, Owen, producer Owen, thank you very much for my amazing T-shirt and for Daniel and Imogen. Yours is in the post.
Thank you so much.
It's been a joy. And producer Dave's gone as well. Yes. Owen's gone as well. Look at this. Oh, we've all gone. Fantastic. Look, it's been a joy, Imogen and Dan. Thanks for being back on with us. Looking forward to having you on with us again next week. And we will see you soon. We'll be back on Tuesday for more fun. Einel, welcome back. I know it's been amazing you going on a UK tour, but try not to leave me for 4 months again, please. That would be
great. It's like left over to childcare.
Yeah, I know. We will see you all very soon. Cheers, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.